this verse on account of the determination of the mendicant devotee to engage in the service of Lord Mukunda. He gave his approval of this verse, indicating that it was very good. Text number 8. Paratma nishta matra vesha dharana. You can all repeat it one time. Go ahead. Paratma nishta matra vesha dharana. Mukunda sevaya hoya sangsara taran. Para atma nishta matra. Only for the determination to serve Krishna. Veshadharana. Changing the dress. Mukunda sevaya. By serving Mukunda. Haya. There is. Sangsara tarana. Liberation from this material bondage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The real purpose of accepting sannyas is to dedicate oneself to the service of Mukunda. By serving Mukunda, one can actually be liberated from the bondage of material existence. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order and recommended the determination of the Avantipur Bhikshu to engage in the service of Mukunda. He accepted the Brahmana's version due to his determination to serve Mukunda. The sannyasi dress is actually an attraction for material formality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like such formality, but he wanted the essence of it, service to Mukunda. Such determination in any condition is paratma nishta, that is required. The conclusion is that the sannyas order depends not on the dress, but the determination to serve Mukunda. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukum Kavati Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's some nice philosophical points in this little short verse. This little section. The real purpose of accepting sannyas is to dedicate oneself to the service of Mukunda. By serving Mukunda, one can actually be liberated from the bondage of material existence. So according to Shastra, in this age of Kali, it's not permitted to take sannyas. So one may ask the question, well, why did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take sannyas? Why have all the Vaishnavacharyas since then accepted sannyas and given sannyas? And the answer is here, that sannyas is meant for dedicating one's life to the service of the Lord. It's a little different than the Vedic sannyas, in which one would go to the forest and go through various stages of development in renunciation and meditation and gradually advance to the point of devotional service. This type of renunciation or sannyas that is in our disciplic succession is one that exhibits surrender and devotion to the Lord, devotional service to the Lord. So that's basically why one would take sannyas in the Vaishnav line. Otherwise, renunciation should be exhibited by all Vaishnavas, whether they're in the sannyas order or the grihastha order or vanaprastha or brahmachari. that the principle is there to give up sense gratification, to renounce sense gratification. As I said in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that the difference, there's really no difference between renunciation and yoga, or bhakti yoga in our case, because one cannot become renounced unless, or one cannot become a yogi unless he gives up the desire for sense gratification. Because this is the real crux of our conditioning in material existence, is that we have this desire for sense gratification, for enjoyment, and unless that desire is terminated, then we will continue our material existence. So that you can have a sannyasi, you can have someone who is very apparently advanced spiritually, at least externally from the social position, but if he hasn't given up the desire for sense gratification, perhaps in terms of a desire for prestige or profit or adoration or position, then he's not really renounced in the complete sense of the word. So real renunciation is exhibited by one who can renounce sense gratification and completely engage in the service of Krishna. And that can be done by anyone in any position of life. That's the wonderful feature of bhakti yoga, of devotional service, that it really doesn't matter what position you're in if you can fully engage yourself in devotional service. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a vanaprastha, I'm not a grihastha, not a brahmachari, I'm none of those things. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, gopi bharatur padakamalayor das 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 anudas. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis who are the servants of Krishna. So this is the real Vaishnava mentality. He's not looking for a position in the material world that's comfortable. It's not that, like when, well, you know, going up the corporate ladder in the material world, you try to find the best position in the business world. It's not like that in spiritual life, that I'll rise up through these different stages, and eventually when I get to be a sannyasi, then I'll really be advanced in devotional service. That's not what sannyas is for. It's not, as it's described in the purport here, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like formality, this external formality. Actually, the reason Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, as we understand from the previous chapter that we were reading, is mainly to, as a trick, mainly as a ruse, simply to get people to give him respect and to be able to advance in devotional service. It wasn't, obviously Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need to take sannyas. He could have preached Krishna consciousness as a householder, but he took sannyas in order to gain the respect of the general populace so that they would advance. And of course there were many reasons for that. He was being misunderstood by his students and by others. So therefore he decided that the only way he could really preach at that particular time was if he accepted the sannyas order. And by doing so, people would respect him, they would listen to him, they would try to understand his teachings, otherwise he felt that it was not accomplishing his end. So therefore he took sannyas, so the end of his what he was trying to accomplish in his mission as a preacher. So in the same way, Prabhupada also gave sannyas to so many devotees during his time, and he was very clear on the point that the purpose of sannyas was to preach. The purpose of sannyas was to engage in full devotional service, to give one's life completely dedicated to completely to the devotional service of the Lord, and particularly for preaching. So the sannyasis in our movement do the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They travel, they preach. We don't go to the forests and meditate or go begging alms from door to door. The sannyasi goes out to preach Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness from door to door. And for those who are grihasthas, those of us in that order of life, which is pretty much the majority, we also have to see how we can do that as well. Somehow or other find some service in the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Srila Prabhupada, so that we can bring devotional service to others. Being in the Grihastha ashram is not necessarily this, as we hear sometimes, this license for sense gratification. That doesn't mean we can enjoy unrestrictedly. It means maybe we can have a house and we can have a family and children, etc. But within the context of that ashram, everything has to be offered to the Lord as service. And somehow it has to also be connected with the preaching. One can have a nice family life in order to preach to others to show them how to have a family in Krishna consciousness. Or if one has time, he can go out and engage in preaching, going from door to door, distributing books, going on Harinam. All these things are there. It's not that when we take to the householder life that these things are less important. Obviously, we may not have as much time to do them on a full-time basis, but somehow or other, we have to include this preaching of Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls in our life as grihasthas. Otherwise, we will feel very incomplete. This personal experience that when I don't preach, when I don't get an opportunity to speak and preach Krishna consciousness or somehow be connected to a preaching program, I always feel incomplete. But as soon as you go out and meet somebody, give them a book, tell them about Krishna consciousness, you feel your whole mentality has changed. Your whole consciousness changes. You become enlivened. You become more Krishna conscious. This is just a practical experience, a practical instruction for all of us, that as soon as we do preach, our life feels perfect. It feels complete again. So this is the whole example of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Most of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciples were all grihasthas, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, Srivas Pandit. They all were grihasthas. Eventually some of them did take to the renounced order of life, but within the grihastha ashram they also preached, just as the sannyasis preach according to their particular circumstance. So this is something that we can get out of this verse also, that sannyas is not just a formality, it's not just a position that we're trying to achieve so that we can get respect or be on a higher material level than others. It is simply really just an opportunity for someone who is so inclined to give his life to preaching Krishna consciousness and spreading devotional service. So I don't have much more to say on this particular subject. If somebody wants to bring it up, I did want to speak a little bit about Radhakunda and read some things about Radhakunda. And actually, yes, let me read this very nice verse, some verses from the Bhagavad Gita on renunciation. Because sometimes we have this idea of renunciation, of dry renunciation, and that we need to be very austere and strict. Those things are helpful, but they can sometimes also make the heart very dry and very hard and insensitive. So real renunciation, as I said, is to engage in devotional service, and we can find that instruction here in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 18, which is the perfection of renunciation. And I'm going to read the first verse and some verses later on, the conclusion of renunciation, which is to surrender to Krishna. So this is the first verse, and I'm going to read the purport also. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas, O killer of the Keshi demon, Rishikesh. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me within himself is the best. In the next six chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third six chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, summarized by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. In the third part of Bhagavad Gita, devotional service was established by the example of past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra, which cites that devotional service is the ultimate purpose of life and nothing else. Certain impersonalists consider themselves monopolizers of the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra, but actually the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service, for the Lord himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra, and he is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Now, so for some concluding verses from the Bhagavad Gita. Here, most of us are familiar with these verses. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. O Sahib of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Thus I have explained to you the most confidential of all knowledge. Deliberate on this fully, then do what you wish to do. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you the most confidential part of knowledge. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is the conclusion. To engage, to surrender to the Lord all of one's activities. Yes. Yeah.
Some years ago, there was a discussion that I heard. Devotees were describing how maybe living in the temple, their service, they're dressing the deities and cooking for the deities all day. They're not going out so much to contact people directly. And someone else brought up the point that, well, even if I have the desire or appreciation to be an instrument to distribute Krishna consciousness, I'm working all day and I have my sadhana and household affairs. So what do? I can't, it doesn't seem as if I can be involved in being able to receive that devotional mercy preaching. And I forget the devotee's name, but what was replied was, and this is what I wanted to comment on or some discussion, that because we are a part of Krishna, and Krishna says, one who surrenders to me, he rises above the modes of material nature. And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that I order everyone in the universe to go out and teach Bhagavad Gita, because Lord Chaitanya wants that so much. Therefore, to the extent that anyone is favorable or sympathetic or actually instrumentally going out to fulfill that desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then as you describe your experience, they will necessarily experience a whole lot more juice because they're doing exactly what God wants or especially wants or is especially dear to him. This is what was explained to me. So, for someone who's back at the temple and fully engaged, or someone who's involved in just making money and whatever, or maybe sick, just on their back, that if they can focus their mentality, their intent, that all right, I'm working, but I do appreciate the value of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants, what my spiritual master wants. So let me work and think at the end of this day, at the end of this week, at the end of this month, I will give whatever I can, whether it's $1 or $10 or $1,000, whatever. Or if the pujari who's dressing the deities does it at least partly with a mentality that let me dress the deities so that these conditioned souls who are coming may be attracted, so that the devotees who are here may be enlivened, so they may go out. Or if someone is cooking, they can add that element of connecting to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion, that let me cook in such a way that the devotees will have strength, they'll have enlivenment to go out and contact others. Somehow or other, adding the spirit of sympathizing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire, Krishna's desire, in whatever situation the devotee may be in. And in that way, receive from Krishna the highest bliss and the highest grace that can possibly be received by that mentality, however it may manifest. Whether it's going out distributing 80 books a day, or it's working all day thinking, oh, I will give this donation, like that, etc. The mentality. Comment.
Well, you said it all. You said everything was said right there, yes. That mentality, I mean, that was during Prabhupada's physical manifestation. Every devotee thought like that. That was how we were trained, I think. We were trained to understand that the pujari or the person that was sweeping the floors or fixing the vans, we were all part of the Sankirtan mentality of spreading Krishna consciousness. You had to have the backup people, and you have to have the front lines. We were like the Sankirtan army. That was the mentality. Even the devotees who would go out, like Jayananda, would go out and drive a taxi to raise money so the temple could stay open, basically. That was his service at one time. So yeah, that's...
Yeah. I'm one of those devotees who certainly started from way back before the starting line. that one thing I've always taken shelter of is that Peter Prophet writes in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that not only those who are fully engaged in the missionary activities, but those who assist the missionary activities will gradually feel spiritual advancement, which is one of the foundational rails of the whole Varnashram system, that anyone who participates in sympathizing with and assisting will gradually be elevated by the Lord further and further. It's not that necessarily I have, at some point I'll go out and I'll distribute so many books and then I'll get the mercy of the Lord. No, start right now. Let me give 10 cents to who's ever distributing books. Let me give someone a ride who's going out, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, very nice point. Anybody else? Comment? Otherwise, we're running out of time here, so I wanted to read something about Radhakunda, because today is the appearance of Radhakunda. And this is the story of how Radhakunda came to be. And then Sri Radha Kundastakam by Srimad Raghunath Das Goswami. After killing a bull named Aristasura, Krishna approached Radharani to engage in loving affairs. However, she rebuked him, stating he was impure because of committing the sin of killing a bull, the symbol of religion. She suggested that to counteract this sin, he should bathe in all the sacred rivers. Krishna, being eager to engage in loving affairs with Srimati Radharani, immediately shoved his lotus foot into the ground, making a large hole, and called all the sacred rivers to enter into it. They appeared before him and formed Shyamakunda, the bathing place of Shyam, one who is the color of a dark rain cloud. After bathing, Krishna stated that he had become pure by bathing in Shyamakunda, but that the gopis had become impure having sided with a demon, even though he appeared in the form of a bull. Radharani, along with some of her gopi friends, broke their bangles and dug a hole with the broken pieces, but there was no water, so Krishna laughed. The gopis then formed a line to the Manasi Ganga and started to fill the hole with water that was passed from one gopi to another. At that time, all the sacred rivers again arrived in person and requested permission to enter into Radharani's kunda, which they did after receiving Radharani's blessing. So from the Sri Radha Kundastakam, after the killing of Aristasura, Srimati Radhika and her sakhis exchanged many joking words with Sri Krishna concerning the necessary atonement for one who has committed the offense of killing a bull. As a result, the queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radhika, and her sakhis joyfully excavated and filled Sri Radhakunda with their own hands. May that immensely fragrant Radhakunda be my shelter. In the land of the hearts of those who bathe in Radhakunda, a desire tree of the superlative prema, which is not attainable even for Krishna's principal queens in Dwaraka, will arise. May that supremely charming Radhakunda be my shelter. For the pleasure of Srimati Radhika, even Sri Krishna himself, yearning to attain her merciful sidelong glance, regularly bathes in Radhakunda, carefully observing all the appropriate rituals. May that supremely enchanting Radhakunda be my shelter. May that supremely enchanting Radhakunda, which the moon of Braja, Sri Krishna, loves as much as he loves the crown jewel amongst the sweet girls of Braja, Srimati Radhika, and which he has made known by the name of Radhika herself, be my shelter. The mercy obtained by serving Radhakunda makes the desire creeper of prema for the prince of Braja sprout and is celebrated for bearing the flower of service to my Swamini, Srimati Radhika. May that supremely charming Radhakunda be my shelter. Gloriously manifest on the banks of Radhakunda are 8 kunjas named after Radhika's principal sakhis. acting as stimuli for the amorous pastimes of the divine couple, these kunjas are filled with the sweet humming of bumblebees and are desired by everyone. May that supremely enchanting Radha Kunda be the shelter of my life. Situated on an exquisite dais on the bank of Radha Kunda and accompanied by her beloved Sakhis, our Swamini Srimati Radhika charmingly engages in sweet joking words with Sri Krishna, the moon of Braja. These playful verbal exchanges are enhanced by the suggestion of so many innuendos. May that Radha Kunda be the shelter of my life. May that very charming and especially fragrant Radha Kunda, where intoxicated with love, the divine couple and the Sakhis daily sport with great joy in the water so fragrant with exquisite lotus flowers, be the sole shelter of my life. To that devotee who, in a resolute mood of aspiring to serve Srimati Radhika, reads this charming prayer describing Sri Radha Kunda, even in their present body, Sri Krishna will quickly grant them darshan of not only his beloved Radhika, but also of their many variegated amorous pastimes. Witnessing these pastimes and envisioning himself serving Jugala Kishore in various ways, such a devotee will feel immense jubilation. This ashtaka is recited in the poetic meter known as Malini. And then, of course, there are some significant verses in the Nectar of Instruction about Radha Kunda, which read as follows. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kunda stands supreme, for it is over-flooded with the ambrosial, nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kunda, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? In the Shastra, it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, Gyanis, and who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge, may take to devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees, because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kunda is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radha Kunda and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings render loving service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashtakaliya Leela, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes? Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radha Kunda are the most fortunate people in the universe. Of the many objects of favored delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kunda is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kunda is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Sri Sri Radha Kunda Ki Jai. So I'll complete there. Thank you very much. Short class, not much time was available. Is there any Other comments or questions?
Take it back.
Say again?
Well, they do today in Radhakun in Vrindavan, they go to Radhakun. There's thousands of people doing kirtan, you know, all night. And then they go and take a bath at midnight in Radhakun. That's when appear, I think.
I was there a few years ago. For those of you who have not gone to Radhakun during this time, it's amazing how thousands and thousands of people could fit, like in a... The Radhakun itself is probably maybe 100 meters long and about 80 meters wide. And around that, they have a pathway of probably about 15 meters wide, and there are buildings everywhere. And there are thousands and thousands of people on that path. There is no place to walk. You have to shove people, they push you. And there are some wells along the way, empty wells, which have no cover. And you have to be very careful not to fall in those. It's actually very, very risky to go there. Nobody takes any children. Of course, the children who live there, they know all the ins and outs of those places. But no one takes any children there because it's very risky what could happen there. Thousands and thousands of people. And there are many, many kirtan groups along the way. At all, you know, they circumambulate. One circumambulation could take you an hour, even though normally you would do it in about 15 minutes or something. And going down into the kund itself, there are steps, about 8 steps. It's probably about 10 feet, maybe a little less than 10 feet. Going down, there are walls around it, and then from the wall going down into the kund itself is about 10 feet going down 2 steps. So there are hundreds of people inside who want to come out from that one step. There are many steps, but every step there are hundreds of people trying to get out, and there are hundreds of people wanting to go down at the same time. So it's and there's no order. You know, there are policemen there who are, and people are pushing, and there are waves, and then all of a sudden the policeman, the chowkidar who is there, and they're huge, I mean, 2 or 3 of them, they make a big push like this. And then everybody will kind of back up like this. Go down, they get... Hare Krishna. So I guess it's time for me to stop. But it's wild. And but once you get down there into the water is very cold and very soothing. If you've never done it, it's probably a good chance to do it sometime. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.
I think before, I thought it would be nice.